Okay, so the series we're starting is on identity. So everybody say that with me. Identity. And just so you know, let's say it again. Identity. Just to make sure that no one frappin' forgets what we're going to be talking about this series, let's say it one more again. Identity. Now, identity is huge. I mean, this is really big. This is really foundational for everyone sitting in this room. Whether you know it or not, whether you're bothered about this or not, this has everything to do with you. Identity, who you are, how you see yourself. Because who you believe yourself to be will dictate how you live. And so I'm going to go ahead and throw it out real fast, just at the beginning of everything. We're going to contend that your identity should be in Christ. And we'll get there later. We'll show you all the passages that bring us to the point of thinking that your identity should be in Christ. That's Paul's little term that he uses. In Christ as a child of God. That you are a child of God. You are sons and daughters of the King. And that's your identity and who you are. Now, it's not as simple as that. Or we wouldn't have a whole series to do on this. It's not as simple as just you living as a child of God. Here's the problem. You and I have created false identities that we hide behind. Maybe I can explain it like this. Now, some of you know that I was a youth pastor in a town out in Texas, but not just any town out in Texas. Anybody know what town it was? I love it. I love it because you said it with the stinking little accent, too. You didn't just say Eddie, Texas. You said Eddie, Texas. See, when you say Eddie, Texas, you got to say it with that country accent because, I mean, it wasn't city slicking. It was out in the country. Eddie's in the country. I'm talking about take off your shirt and chase wild animals kind of country, all right? That is Eddie, Texas. And so I was out there as a youth pastor and had some friends at my university I was going to that helped me and that were leaders. We had one of our leaders, her name was Kelly. And her family lived right down the road from the church. So on Sunday afternoons or during the week, a bunch of us would go and hang at Kelly's house. And her little brother was always running around the place, all right? Now, the first time I met Kelly's little brother, his name is Seth. All right, let me bring Seth into the picture. First time I met Seth, he was going through a little stage in his life where he believed he was Spider-Man. Okay? Now, it was a little weird because he was 21 years old. And no, I'm kidding. Okay, Seth was 5 years old. But Seth, honestly, completely, I mean, down to the depths of his being, believed that he was Spider-Man. I think his mom bought him a costume for Halloween or something. He put that little sucker on in October and never took it off. Now, I'm not talking about like a week. I'm talking about half a year, okay? Homeboy wore that costume for like 6 months. I'd see him at the store with his mom. And there's a little Spider-Man doing his webs all over the place. Be speaking at church and look in the back and there's little Spidey on the last row. Everywhere I saw Seth, he was dressed up in Spider-Man costume. Now, we all thought this was kind of funny. All right? I mean, a five-year-old who puts on this Halloween costume and trying to pretend that he's somebody else, that's kind of funny, right? It'd be a little bit goofy if that was you and me. Right? I mean, five-year-old walks in here tonight dressed up like Spider-Man, I'm probably going to laugh and think that's kind of cute. A 35-year-old man walks in here in red tights saying he's Spider-Man, I'm calling the frappin' cops. All right, it's just a little bit weird. Okay, so we can all agree that that's okay for a little kid to do, to put on a costume and to act like somebody that they're not. But that's not okay for us to do, and yet all of us do. Now, we don't do the little Spider-Man costumes, right? That's not what we wear and masquerade in. No, the costumes we wear, they're not really Spider-Man. In fact, they're much deeper than that. The costumes that you and I wear are the false identities that we have created for ourselves. The costumes that you and I wear are these false identities that we go to and we put on and we hide behind because it gives us the self-worth that we're looking for. It gives us validation. Now, can we stop for a minute? Because I just used a big boy word. And I think this is an important word for what we're talking about. Validation. Anybody know what this word means? To be validated? To be validated means to be accepted. To be approved. Validation is not a bad thing. It is a basic human need that we all have. We enter the world searching for this validation. Now, if you don't find your validation in being a child of God, then you will look to other identities. You'll create false identities in order to be validated. So we got a pretty good crowd here. It's Wednesday night. This is the time where we all come in here and worship. I wonder if anybody would like to stand up right now and just tell everybody else what their false identity is. It's probably not a real popular thing to do right now. In fact, you're probably kind of uncomfortable that I'm asking you to do that. Okay, let's do this. How about I go first? How about I just get soul naked with you for a minute, and I share with you what my false identity is. The costume that I find myself at times struggling with and wanting to hide behind. The false identity that I struggle with is Keys, the great speaker and preacher and youth pastor. At times I find myself wanting to hide behind that. And I want people to see that. I want people to know me as that. Because it makes me feel really good. I mean, it does. I'm just going to be honest. When I slip into this costume, it makes me feel very, it validates me. It makes me feel important. It brings this sense of self-worth to me. Now, there's nothing wrong with me speaking and preaching and being a youth pastor. The problem is when this becomes my identity. When this becomes who I am first and foremost, when I think of myself as first and foremost those things, but this is not my identity. This is a costume. This is a false identity. Who I am first and foremost is a child of God. And my validation should come from that. My self-worth and my importance should come from the reality that God has adopted me as His Son. So that was my false identity. Whew. Okay, so I shared mine. What's yours? Maybe yours is also some kind of talent or something that you do. Maybe you're a musician. Or maybe you're an artist. And so that kind of becomes your identity, who you are. Maybe you're funny. Maybe you have this sense of humor, and so you begin to think of yourself, and you want other people to think of yourself as the guy or the girl that always makes everybody laugh. So that becomes your identity. Maybe it's a sport. Maybe you're good at football or soccer or basketball, and so all of a sudden you find that this sport that I believe God wants you to enjoy and wants you to be good at, all of a sudden you begin to slip into it like it's some kind of Halloween costume and wear it around as if that is your identity. If any of these things that I just mentioned, if any of those are your identity, then you will crave compliments because it will feed this costume. You'll want people to notice you and to know you as being really good at those things. And that's the false identity. Or maybe it's accomplishments. Maybe it's things that you've done in the past. Maybe it's good grades that you've made, or the fact that you're in smart people classes like honors and AP and all that stuff. And because of that, that makes you feel important. Makes you feel validated. How about I share one that's really big? Let me share another false identity with you. This one is huge in our culture. Your looks and your appearance become your identity. I was in Cuba not too long ago. Anybody here go on the Cuba mission trip with us? Sporadic little popcorn cheers. If you went to Cuba with us, we had one afternoon where we had a free day. We went hard there. I mean, we were going till morning, till the evening, getting a little bit of sleep. I mean, we were living the missionary life. I was loving it. One afternoon, we had free time in Havana. And I was with one of the leaders here, and we were actually sitting at a cafe, and I heard some whistling. Looked up, and there were two absolute, I mean, I can be honest with y'all, right? Okay, cool, just making sure. There were two absolutely gorgeous women walking across the street. I mean, they were beautiful. And I watched as they walked across, and there were men, you know, all over the street, Havana's busy place. I looked, every guy's head had turned to these ladies. And they were whistling, and they were giving it the old, ah, mamma mia, babada. That was Italian. I'm sorry about that. What do you think? Ah, chica. I don't know what they say, all right? They said something. I can't talk Spanish, okay? So there's this big Italian guy. So they're all whistling, and they're all giving it the hoots and the hollers. Everybody's looking at these two ladies. And man, those two ladies loved it. I mean, they acted like they couldn't tell, you know? I mean, they acted like, oh, I don't even hear it, like we're talking and blah, blah, blah. But man, you could tell by how they walked. You could tell by how they responded that they loved that attention. And they were dressed kind of scandalous, and all those whistling and all those looks just fed them inside. It made me think about something. It made me think, those women, that's probably their entire life. They were dressed kind of scandalous, but nice, like expensive clothes, which in downtown Havana is not real common, which means they're probably married to rich Cuban men down there, probably because of how they look and what their appearance is. And I began to think, that's their entire life. Everywhere they go, they make all the guys turn. Everywhere they go, they're noticed because of their appearance, and that has become their entire identity. Everything begins to be built around that. Do you see what I'm talking about now? And some of you, that might be you. For some of you, this might be the costume that you wear. And if so, appearance is everything. Your body, how you look, it's your whole life. Most girls right here with us are ages 13 to 18 years old. Almost all of you are. Somewhere in between 13 and 18. I recently read that the number one wish for girls ages 13 to 18 years old is to be thinner. The number one wish in their lives. Why do you think that eating disorders are at an all-time high? So we have all these people obsessing over what their bodies look like and their appearances because their entire identity is built upon that. So that one's huge. That's a big false identity that we've created and that we hide behind, what we look like and what our appearance is. Or maybe this is your false identity. Maybe your false identity is people liking you and being popular. See, this series is very relevant. I mean, talking about identity is very relevant for going back to school, I think. Because some of us get laxed with our costumes and these false identities, but right when we get back into school, you know what I'm talking about. Right when you get back into school, it's like you slip back into that costume. And now you begin to think, just because these people over here think I'm cool, that validates me. That makes me feel important. That gives me a sense of worth in my life. If just these people think that I'm cool and I'm popular. If this is your false identity, there will be no limit to what you will do to fit in with others. So maybe this is it. Maybe it is a girlfriend or a boyfriend that you have. Maybe that has become your identity. That how that person thinks of you or feels about you is how you think of yourself. Maybe your false identity or the costume that you wear. Maybe it's this one. Brent was wearing this earlier. It was kind of weird. Maybe your false identity is in money, or it's in coming from a family that has money. And so your clothes and the things you own, the cool things that you've got, always coming out with new cool stuff that you get, you know, because you have money or your family has money. And so you got your new cell phone, you got that new iPod, and you've got a car, and the car really feels, and all of a sudden, it's the things that you own that become you. Does that make any sense? I mean, it's weird and it's goofy. I mean, this is a silly costume for a grown person or a teenager to be wearing. This is silly that the things we own would become who we are. And yet it's a huge false identity because these things give us some kind of security. They make us feel important because I have money, because I have cool things. I'm important. So maybe it's one of these false identities that you wear. And I've mentioned a couple. I have not even begun to scratch the surface of all the false identities that we have created for ourselves. And maybe you have multiple ones that you struggle with. Or maybe your false identity is made of a mix of these. Or maybe you're like, Keith, you're talking all abstract. I mean, you're talking all, you know, false identity and blah, 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 blah. And I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have a false identity. If you still don't know what the false identity is that you struggle with, the costume that you slip into, then do me a favor, okay? Listen to me. Go home tonight after Roots. Get on the computer and go to your MySpace page. How many of y'all have a MySpace page? Be honest. Don't try to be holy. Like, no, I just read my Bible. I don't do MySpace. I got my Bible. That's what I got. How many of y'all got a MySpace page? I got one. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Come on, Miguel. You got like three of them, dog. Hey, you know what you do with your MySpace page? You create and you design it the way you want people to view you. Think about it. Your MySpace page is a pretty good indication of the identity that you believe yourself to have. So go home and click on it and check it out. I've looked at some of your MySpace pages. I've seen false identities that we have for ourselves. I mean, why do you think that so many people on MySpace put the sexy pictures up and try to look really erotic and everything? That they're trying to create some kind of identity for themselves. Or why do you think people will write a little blurb and talk about themselves in this way because they want other people to see them like that? So we have all these false identities that we have created for ourselves. Can I tell you real fast, just quickly, can I tell you why these false identities will never work for you? Never. I'll give you two reasons. Number one, everybody put a little finger up. Number one, these false identities are temporary. And number two, put up the deuce. Number two, they are conditional. All right, let's go back to number one. All right, you can put your hands down. They are temporary. Those two girls in Cuba, they will not always look like that. It's temporary. How about the guy who's like awesome in basketball in high school? I mean, he's just a bad boy. He's like breaking ankles out there. He's like next little Allen Iverson. Gets to college, and he's not the best basketball player around anymore. And so what happens? In college, he has freshman year, he kind of has to struggle through and work out what it means that he doesn't have an identity anymore. Because this, how he saw himself, the identity he created, is no longer there. And so he doesn't know who he is. Let's just say, stop. Let's just say he is the best baller at college then, all right? So, I mean, he still, you know, moves from high school to college. He's still like the man. And so he makes the big leap, which almost no one does, small number, small percentage, makes the big leap and goes into the league, baby. I mean, he goes into the pros. And then he discovers that he's not the best basketball player around, huh? I mean, Miami Heat, look at the team, right? If you were to put the team up next game when season rolls around, look at the team. The last dude on the team, the cat that you think, I mean, you think the warm-ups are glued onto him because you ain't never seen the jersey, right? He sits the bench every stinking game. The last dude on the, you know what I'm talking about? Those guys at the very end, we all think they're scrubs. We're like, oh, that guy. You know that guy dominated in college, right? I mean, he had to just absolutely make some grown men look like boys in order to get into the NBA. I mean, he was schooling people left and right, and then he got to the NBA and realize he's not the man anymore. But let's just say that even when you get to the NBA, you're the man. I mean, you're the best player in the league, which there can only be one of those, right? Best player in the league, best in the world. Let's say that's you. Even that will pass with time. Not even that will last. That will go and some youngster will come up and will have more game. That false identity that that person has built their entire life on is temporary. Well, what about when your girlfriend or boyfriend breaks up with you? And all of a sudden, you had built your entire life around this identity, and now it's lost. You don't even know who you are, man, because you broke up with that person. You don't even know who you are alone. That's why some of us are so scared to be alone, because we don't know who we are. That's why some of you always have to date somebody. It's because your identity is caught up in that. So all these false identities that we've created for ourselves, they are temporary. And then number two, These false identities are conditional. Can we just rewind and go back to my struggle? I don't want to talk about it. My struggle, the one. I don't really like doing that. I just know that it's healthy to talk about it. Let's go back to my struggle again. Keith, the great speaker and preacher and youth pastor. I like to fit into that costume because it really makes me feel good. It feels like I'm being validated. But what happens when I make a mistake? What happens when I do something that makes people no longer think that I'm this great preacher and great pastor? What will happen inside of me if I've made that an identity? For a pastor who makes his identity that, what happens when that pastor does something that makes people no longer impressed with him? Think about it. What will a pastor do at that time? I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll lose his identity, so he won't know who he is, and so he'll bail out of there. He won't know how to serve people and love people when they don't think that he's the bomb, and when they don't appreciate him and think he's everything and impress. Do you see what I'm getting at here? He'll bail out of there. And he'll go, you know where he'll go? He'll go find another church or another group of people that he can impress and dazzle, because that will validate him and feed his false identity. If you're a fella in here, you can probably squeeze your own false identity into what I'm talking about right now. This is what we fellas struggle with a lot. We struggle with taking some kind of talent or something we're good at, something we do, and turning that into who we are. That's why so many men become workaholics. Because their sense of worth is dependent on their work. What's the first question that men ask each other when they meet one another? Hey, so what do you do? I'm a blah, blah, blah. So what do you do? I'm a blah, blah, blah. Did you hear that? That's the language they use. I'm a blank. Just enter in your own job or your town. I'm a blank. That's who I am. This is my identity. No, it's not your identity. You're not what you do. That's not your identity. And yet us fellas, we struggle a lot with that. It is conditional. Just like what so many girls struggle with. Of their appearance and their looks being their identity. That is so conditional. Let's go back to our two lovely ladies in Cuba. Huh? What happens? All right, these two ladies that have always made guys turn their heads and whistle and sing Italian things to them. All right, those girls, what happens when they go to a place where they are no longer the most beautiful girls in the house? What happens if they go to a party and in the same room there are other women that are more beautiful, more attractive, and so suddenly they're not the center of attention? Who are they? What's their identity? They'll lose their identity. They won't know who they are because our false identities are conditional. It's built on what other people think. I mean, do you realize that? Some of you that don't think it's a big deal that you have a false identity, do you realize that it's all dependent on what other people think of you? So basically, other people control you. So false identities, temporary and conditional. So all these Halloween costumes that we wear and that we slip into, they will never, ever, ever be able to provide the validation that your soul is searching for. The validation that you come into the world looking for and desperately wanting. These Halloween costumes will never be able to validate you. And some of you, I imagine, you know, I've been talking for a couple minutes up here. And some of you still feel like I haven't said something that has caught you. Like, no, you haven't said what, you know, I can't relate to any of these false identities that you've said. One of the reasons for that might be that the costume you wear is not one that you made for yourself, but one that was given to you and forced upon you. Maybe you were at school one day and somebody called you a geek or a nerd. And so you know what you did? You began to wear that costume. Not because you wanted to, but because they placed that label on you and you began to see yourself like they said you are. Or maybe you have a bad reputation from stuff you've done in the past, and so it feels like that costume follows you around. Or maybe you had a parent or somebody else that told you you are worthless and stupid. That is a false identity. That is a costume that's been placed on you. And you begin to live out of that and to believe that about yourself. So I'm calling all these false identities false. Did anybody notice that? No? The whole time you didn't notice I was calling it false identities? Not really? Did anybody notice I was calling it false identities? I'm doing that for a reason. Because it's false. God's word is very clear that if you have received Jesus into your life, if you have said yes to God, then you have a new identity. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And what is that new identity? Quite simply, God makes you His own. He makes you a child of His. That you are a child of God. I want you to grab your word. Grab your Biblos right now. I want you to go to John chapter 1. I don't want to just quote this. I want you to read it for you. And this is going to kind of hang over this entire series. Go to John chapter 1. John 1 verse 12. Give me an amen if you're there and oh my if you're not. Oh my. Oh my. Amen. Okay, here we go. Yet to all, I love this verse. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become, help me with this, children of God. That part at the end I really liked, so we're going to do it again. You're going to help me out. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become, help me out, children of God. You are a child of God. That is your identity. That is who you are. And that's what we're going to look at in the weeks to come. This unbelievable reality that God is fathering us, that God has chosen us and accepted us and owns us, that we are His children. And that is where our validation comes from. That is what validates you. What you've always longed for. What every costume points to. The fact that your soul is searching for validation. Now, I'm not expecting all that to happen tonight. All right? Please look at me. Please look at me. Everything I just told you based on John 1:12, I'm not expecting all that to happen tonight. I'm not expecting for you to be totally fixed tonight and to take your false identity and to rip it off and just throw it and go, woohoo, I'm a child of God, and to walk out of here and never struggle again with costumes. I don't expect that. You know what? If you believe that, it would show that you do not understand how big of an issue your identity is. Finding your true identity is a long process. It is a long journey. So this is what I want to happen tonight. I prayed all week for one thing to happen. That's it, one thing. That you would recognize and see that you have a false identity that you struggle with. That's it. That you would see it tonight. Everyone in here has one. From the strongest person to the weakest. To the dude who only puts on the costume occasionally for comfort, all the way to the cat who's been wearing this 24/7, really believing this is who he is. Everyone struggles with a false identity. And so what do we do with this tonight? You got two options. You got two options. That's it. Two options right now. Here's the first one. You can continue to act like you don't struggle with a false identity. Everything that I've just said in the past half hour, it doesn't apply to you. It applies to somebody else in this room, all right? And so here's what you'll do. You'll just go out tonight, and tomorrow you'll be right back prancing around in your little Spider-Man costume, pretending to be somebody that you're not. That's the first option. I prayed that you wouldn't do that option, by the way. Here's the second one, let me tell you. Is that you tonight would admit that there is a costume that you wear at times, and there is a false identity you struggle with, and you would, hear me, you would embrace this tonight. And then join us on a journey. A journey of God healing us and recovering our true identity. Actually, I want Jeff to come up here now. And I want us to have a time of reflection in here. And this is all I want you to do. I want you to sit there. And I want you to think deeply. Introspective is what I call it. I want you to be introspective right now. I want you to ask yourself a couple of questions. Can you do that? I want you to ask, what is my identity? Who do I see myself to be? And you know what? Some of you, I'm feeling this right now. Some of you might not even have a clue who you truly are. Would you join us on this journey of discovering our true identity in Christ? What if tonight you embraced it and said, I'm not happy with this, God, and I need you to heal me, and I'm willing to go on this journey now. That's what we're going to begin tonight. We're about to embark on a journey together. And if you want to be part of this, then let that be known to God right now. Can you imagine the transformation, all the change that is going to take place in your life if you begin tonight by saying, I'm going to go on this journey. And I want God to reveal to me and to heal in me my true identity. Can you imagine with me what would happen to the Roots community if we all did this tonight? If we all came tonight right here, if in these next minutes you said, oh God, I admit I have a false identity and I'm ready now. I'm ready to go on this journey with you. Would you heal me? Would you transform me? Would you begin this process in me? Pray with me. Lord, I ask God that you would speak right now, Father, even louder and even clearer that you have done tonight, Father, that you would communicate to my brothers and sisters, God, the false identities that they struggle with, Lord. And not only that, Father, don't leave them there, God. Don't leave them at that place, but lead them, Father, to embark on that journey, to embrace that Halloween costume that they've been wearing and to say to you, I don't want it anymore. I don't want to wear it, but I don't know how to get rid of it. Would you heal me? Would you teach me? Would you lead me, oh God?